I'm Eli Manning.
How y'all feeling today?
Welcome to another edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. I'm Bob Papa, the Quest Diagnostics Training Center. Coming up on the show, inside the film room with Landon Collins, you'll meet the new offensive line coach, Mike Solari, and we'll look back at the 1990 Giants coaching staff. But to get things started, let's take a look at the sights and sounds of rookie minicamp.
It was a great feeling just to walk in and meet some of the coaches and just see some good faces, guys on the team and stuff, and introduce myself. It was a fun time.
How are you? Congratulations. Welcome to the Giants.
Thank you.
Okay, how you doing?
It's been great. I mean, got to speak to Odell and Victor a little bit. Saw them whenever they walked past, and then spoke to Eli a little bit. So excited to be here, and you know, they're just telling me to get in the playbook, pretty much.
What's up, bro? You good?
Yeah.
Good to have you, man. I'm going to get up with you.
All right.
It's a surreal feeling. This is an amazing locker. It's a way, way better than the Chandler locker room growing up in, but seeing all these names and these guys that are currently here is just, it's an awesome feeling.
Man, it's just a blessing to be here, you know, just kicking things off, getting squared away before we go to work.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
JC, man.
How you doing?
I know it's going to be a crazy feeling, like, just putting on a different helmet, something different than the Ohio State helmet that I've been putting on for the past 3 years, but I'm excited for it, and I can't wait to do that.
New York Giants fan, you guys can expect a hard worker, determined, and a definitely a playmaker.
A great contribution, and get ready to get you guys closer to another Super Bowl.
The Giants fans, big plays. I mean, that's what I say to everybody. There's big plays coming, and can't wait to get the season started.
The rookies are just getting their feet wet. For Landon Collins, a little bit more relaxed as he goes into year two of his NFL career. We take you inside the film room and look at Landon Collins' rookie season. Landon Collins plays in all 16 games. He's the first Giants rookie since Barry Cofield to play and start in all 16 games in his rookie season. Carl, obviously, he had over 100 tackles on the season. He plays an aggressive brand of football, which is something you would expect from a Nick Saban player at Alabama.
Well, and he does understand complex schemes as well, Bob. Now, the red flag is when your safety has over 100 tackles and you don't have linebackers in that vicinity, there's something wrong going up front. But let's take a look at what he does do really well, independent of whatever happens with his defensive line and linebackers. He's now pointing out a change in strength of the offense, gets himself lined up, and we often talk about an in-the-box safety. He sees that the formation is overloaded, so he puts himself in position where the tight end shifts. Now, watch what happens. He sees the ball handed off, and he hits the hole right away, and that's the speed he has to get right in there and make the tackle. And when he makes a tackle, he's a thumper. But the thing about it, what you want from your safeties is the ability to change your formation, get your defense lined up, but yet be aggressive when they see a run play. And you'll see him run downhill into a hole, but look at him run downhill, squares up, and makes a big play there on the runner.
Obviously, coverage was a big problem for him. How does he get better at something like that?
Well, coverage is a problem for him because he had a lot of things going on at the other safety position, a lot of things going on at the other linebacker position. So it was kind of just patch things up for this coordinator So his role changed on a week-to-week basis. Now, when they have stability at linebacker and safety, he'll have a more defined role. And when things change, it's not on a week-to-week basis based on need. And matchups are a little more compatible with his skill set.
And I would think a lot of film work in the offseason.
Sure.
After going through it, now understanding it and studying it and trying to identify the way they're trying to pick on you.
Exactly. And he's going to be matched up with tight ends. He's got to learn to play better with his hands and use his feet a lot better.
Landon Collins is slimmed down and ready and poised for a big second year in the National Football League. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll meet one of the new coaches as we continue with Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota after this. Welcome back to Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. The Giants have some new members to their coaching staff, including on the offensive line, as we visit with Mike Solari. Just talk a little bit about your philosophy of what you expect out of your offensive line group.
I think the key thing with the offensive line, looking for fundamentals and techniques and always striving to finish. I believe that's the difference between a good offensive line and a great offensive line in the NFL. A lot of men are talented, but again, the way they finish, so that's what we're going to be stressing this year.
One of the most successful teams in the National Football League over the last 6 years was some of those 49er teams that you were a part of as a coach there. And when you think about it, it's Frank Gore, and it's a powerful offensive line. Is that sort of what you're envisioning, trying to recreate here with the Giants?
Very much so. You know, and again, the offensive line, the San Francisco 49ers did a great job. I was blessed to be able to work with some outstanding young men, and looking forward to working here.
You got some young guys. Eric Flowers is going to be going into his second year. Justin Pugh is a guy who has shown a lot of versatility. And Weston Richburg is now settled in as a center going into his third year in the league. How important is it to sort of shape guys early in their career? And are there more things that you can do to mold them?
I think the key thing is, you know, like Ben's right on top of this, you know, is getting the drills, you know, in the sense of that game-like atmosphere and putting them in different situations where they're functioning as one. That's the key thing. You know, again, you know, last year, like with Eric, you know, learning as a rookie, there's so much to learn. And then the communication is so great, you know, in the NFL. And that's the key thing with the offensive line. They have to work as one.
One of the staples is the run game and really sort of that component. People think West Coast offense and they think a lot of throwing. It's really a misnomer, isn't it? Going all the way back to the 49ers under Bill Walsh, where he had tremendous running backs like Roger Craig.
Right. You know, and again, it's a balanced attack, and it's a great offense because his chains are always moving. But again, the run game is so important because it sets up the play action and the run fakes, and those are where you get the big plays.
How important is it to have a quarterback who's a two-time Super Bowl MVP that can kind of help these guys out up front when it comes to calling protection and seeing things that they might not see?
Right, Bob, that's essential. You know, and again, Eli's done such a great job over his career, and then Ben's done a great job in these last 2 years and learning the offense. And again, you know, being able to read in the sense of being able to read coverages and so forth. And when the box is loaded, you know, you're throwing the football, yet, you know, when the box is light, you want to be able to run the football, you know, get the seven-man front.
You've had success in a lot of places that you've been. Who are some of the guys that have really influenced you and helped shape you as a coach?
I've been blessed. You know, the people I've worked for, you know, the head coaches, you know, very unique. I was able to start out in the league with Coach Landry and had a chance to work with Marty Schottenheimer, Dick Vermeil. So I've been very blessed. Probably the position coach that had the greatest influence on me would have been Bob McKittrick, you know, at the San Francisco 49ers. Just a tremendous technician, just his consistency, the way he was every day. He was just so consistent, and, you know, the players, it's important to the players, where they could look at you and lean on you, you know, see that consistent person, you know, no matter the situation, you know, you're always steady and you always believe in what you teach.
Coach, we appreciate a couple minutes. Welcome to the New York Giants.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
That's a look at Mike Solari, the new offensive line coach for the Giants. When we come back, we'll take a look at the staff of the 1990 Super Bowl champion Giants after this. We're back here on Giants Access Blue, presented by Toyota. This past season, the Giants celebrated the 25th anniversary of the 1990 Super Bowl championship squad, led by Bill Parcells. But Coach Parcells had a staff of who's who.
The 1990 Super Bowl champion New York Giants were a deep and talented team, and that was true not only for the players, but the coaching staff as well. Five assistants on Bill Parcells' 1990 staff would go on to become head coaches in the NFL. Longtime offensive coordinator Ron Erhardt had been head coach in New England before joining the Giants and won a Super Bowl in 1986 with Bill Parcells. Defensive coordinator and future Patriots head coach Bill Belichick was also on the 1986 staff, and he too was looking for his second Super Bowl ring. Al Groh coached the linebackers and would later become the Jets head coach. Romeo Crennel, who would go on to lead the Browns and Chiefs, coached the defensive line, and future Giants head coach Ray Hanley coached the running backs. And in his third year with the Giants was a young wide receivers coach named Tom Coughlin.
You know, we had exceptional coaches on the staff, defensively, offensively, and on special teams. We had a good football team. They had just won it in 86. The strike was in 87. I came in 88. We got knocked out of the playoffs in the 16th game of the season. The following year, we made it to the playoffs. We were continuing to build our football team, and we were getting better, and we had different pieces that came into the puzzle as well. So we started out the 1990 season 10-0.
Look, it's going to be the same thing to the open side now on third down. You're going to get a guy in a flat and then two guys crisscrossing, you know, however they match the thing up.
Big rush. Steph coming, throws. Intercepted to the 20, to the 15, and he's going to score. Everson Wall.
No field goal, and we're going to go return to 37.
He might go. One man to stop the kicker. He's by the kicker. He'll score.
I tell you, I wish that Sims had just come out there and get hot. Hit about eight in a damn row.
Yeah, that's going to be tough on him tonight.
We can do something against these guys.
Sims looking for a target. Rolly's right. He's going long, way down deep. It is complete to Ingram. Touchdown!
Here we go, 3 seconds to go. The ball spotted at the 30. It's long. It goes up. It's got the distance. It's good!
And there's no time on the clock. The Giants win.
But after the 10-0 start, the Giants would lose three of their last six games. But more importantly, they would also lose their starting quarterback.
Sims is down and getting up slowly. Sims is starting to limp off the field here. It's a first down for the Giants. Now we'll get Jeff Hostetler.
When we ran out to 10-0, and then finished 3-3, people began to write, well, maybe they're a little bit old. Maybe they, you know. No, the determination, the way we practice, the way we work, the ability to keep our priorities in order with this veteran team.
After the 10-0 and taking a couple beatings and then everybody getting hurt, the Giants went off the radar screen. I don't want to say it was a blessing, because it wasn't a blessing to lose your starting quarterback. But that group of guys, they just responded like they always did. Oh, yeah, well, we'll see about it. And that's what happened. We did see about it.
The Giants responded with a vengeance in the NFC Championship game against the San Francisco 49ers. In a rough-and-tumble battle, New York pulled out a 15-13 victory on Matt Barr's fifth field goal of the game.
Snap, spot, kick is away. It's got the distance. It is good!
And the Giants are going to Tampa Bay. It's over for the three-peats. It's over.
Super Bowl 25 would also come down to a last-second field goal. But this time it was Buffalo's Scott Norwood who had a chance to seal the win for his team.
They're lining up to kick this field goal. I'm saying to myself, you know, it would be a shame if we lose this game, because we outplayed them so badly. And still, they still had an opportunity, to their credit, to win.
Now Norwood tries to kick his longest ever on grass, 47 yards.
There's nothing easy about a 47-yard field goal now. He got it away, and it was a strong kick. It was plenty long enough. It just faded to the right and never came back in.
In the air, stop the distance.
That was really satisfying to win with that. After losing your quarterback, everybody said you can't win without your starting quarterback. Well, Jeff Hostetler proved that wrong.
There was fight, there was determination, there was grit, there were all of those descriptive words to describe the 1990 Super Bowl 25 world champions.
That Giants staff was a staff that went on to have great success in the National Football League and other places. When we come back, we'll tell you about Dominic Rogers Cromartie as we continue with Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota after this. We're back here on Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. Dominic Rogers Cromartie is an outstanding player. He's really quiet off the field, but he gives a lot back to the community. One of the programs that he has is called Blessings in a Backpack. And this past season, he paid a visit to PS 15 in Manhattan.
Blessings in a Backpack is a program that we've had at our school for many, many years, and so we're really excited to host this event here today.
I appreciate the opportunity for coming back again. You know, Blessings in a Backpack and United Healthcare is giving me the opportunity to come back and be with you guys, and I'm definitely grateful, and I thank you guys for having me, and I'm definitely looking forward to the festivities.
Well, we are thrilled to be able to work with Dominic Rogers Cromartie because it's very important to us. We're a local company. We're in New York. We support the Giants. And the way that he interacts with the kids is really special.
Y'all ready? Go.
I can't hear y'all.
1, 2, 3.
I love coming here. The kids are always energetic. You come here, they love to see you. They interact real well. Need a light job, y'all get your knees up.
First of all, he's such a lively guy, and he's such a kid at heart, and the kids just lit up when they saw him and really enjoyed being with him.
You're going to make smoothies for Dominic.
One of the things I found very interesting was they were on training bicycles, and they had a blender in the back, and they were pedaling as fast as they could to make the blender work. And then there was a contest to see who made the best smoothie.
I got to go with this.
Yeah!
I did a feeding when I first started, and United Healthcare heard about it, and it was only right that I partnered because I love giving back and blessing people with the opportunities.
You know, our organization is really a grassroots organization, and it really depends on people coming together to try to help children. There are a lot of kids in New York who go home hungry every weekend, and thanks to Dominic, 200 of them are being fed. That's an amazing accomplishment.
Seeing someone else who can serve as a role model and kind of show them that there's more out there and that they have something to work towards, it's just amazing. And I know the kids are having a wonderful time, and this is going to be something they remember for the rest of their lives.
Now we're going to say Giants on three. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah!
All right.
Dominic Rogers Cromartie, very proactive, both in season and off season, as far as doing work in the community. Now it's time for this week's edition of Papa's Perspective. The Giants had their rookies in last week, getting a taste of what life is like around the National Football League. It's kind of a fun scene when you think about it. They got signs lined up all over the building. You know, things you take for granted, where the cafeteria is, where the meeting rooms are, where you need to be. Players quickly acclimating themselves to NFL lifestyle. You got the veterans in as part of the off-season workout program. So now the team bonding is starting to come into shape for 2016. Look, there's a lot of time between now and the start of training camp, but it goes fast. For these young guys, they'd better pay attention each step of the way. And that's my perspective. Make sure you follow the Giants on Facebook.com/New York Giants, on Twitter at Giants, and on Giants.com. For our entire crew, I'm Bob Papa. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Giants Access Blue presented by Toyota. This week's Papa's Perspective was brought to you by United Airlines, the official airline of the New York Giants. Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New York Giants. MetLife. Get a free quote and apply online in less than 10 minutes. Visit MetLife.com/life today.